Hey, Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 218 on September 25th, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you would like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world, literally. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Support My Work button on the right-hand side of my website. One more way to support my work is through enticeme.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. Entice Me offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, and non-toxic toys for your enjoyment and pleasure. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider. And for 15% off of your entire purchase, remember to use that coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of Entice Me. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. Hey everybody, let's check what's happening in the patron front.
Yes.
I have three pieces of news for patrons. First, Rizzo signed up for $1 a month. Rizzo, thank you so much for your pledge. I really appreciate it. Elle signed up for $3 a month. Yay, Elle, thank you for your support for becoming a patron. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. And Patrick raised his pledge from $5 a month to $20 a month and included a note that I would like to read to you all. I wanted to thank you for your hard work and to let you know we have increased our pledge from $5 to $20 per month. During a brief trip this weekend, my wife and I had discussed all that has taken place over the last month, and that would not have been possible without the knowledge we have gained from you. All equipment that has been purchased has been at your recommendation, and all has worked perfectly. The conversation led into the amount of money that we have spent on equipment, and not to the person that saved us time, money, and frustration on buying subpar equipment that could have led to throwing the items in the closet and forgetting about our newfound activity. We have been pegging for close to a month now, and it seems to be increasing in frequency each week, 1 to 2 times per week. Again, thank you for the knowledge that you share. You're truly making a difference. And then he lists the purchases through Entice Me: an Aslan Minx harness, the Fuse Tango, spare parts Jacques harness, and then, oh, look, they bought a swing from Gym Support. This is the sex swing. And here's the comment: all I can say is, wow, you should talk about this more often. The sex swing rocks. And then lastly, UV home sanitizer. Awesome product and peace of mind. And then he closes with, please feel free to read this to others, as more should really think about and support the one that provides the solid foundation. Oh, this means so much to me, Patrick and your wife. Thank you both. Thank you so much. And wow, you chose some wonderful products. And what a lovely thing to do, to increase the pledge and to say, wow, this person helped us. And look at all the money we spent on equipment. So, hey, let's throw a little bit her way. Very much appreciated. Always appreciate the support. And the awesome note that comes with it just made my day, I have to tell you. So thank you so much. And thank you to my new patrons as well. Okay, let's see here. So here's what's happening for this podcast. This podcast, I'm surprising you all because I told you that the interview with Ashley Manta was going to be up October 2nd, which is next week, right? Haha. Well, we did the interview this morning, and I was able to edit it right away. So this is the podcast with Ashley Menta. Surprise, surprise. So the first thing I'm going to do for this interview is I'm going to introduce Ashley by reading some of the stuff on her website about who she is and what she's done and all that. You'll see when we start the interview that she does talk about this somewhat, but I just wanted to kind of give you the formal introduction, if you will, as to who this amazing woman is. Ashley Menta has become a sought-after authority on mindfully combining sex and cannabis as part of her Cannasexual brand. As a professional sex educator and coach, she helps people navigate these topics to make sure they are interacting, loving, and feeling their best in and out of the bedroom. Nominated for multiple awards, including the 2018 XBiz Awards for Sexpert of the Year, the 2018 Digital Hollywood Awards for Cannabis Influencer, and she made the top 5 nominees out of 50 nominated for the 2018 California Cannabis Awards for Influencer of the Year category. Her work has been profiled in the Huffington Post and referenced in the London Times, Newsweek, BBC Three, and LA Weekly. She was the featured expert on Viceland TV's Stoned Sex episode of their new series, Slut Ever, hosted by Carly Fiorentino. An extended cut of the episode was re-aired during Viceland TV's Weed Whack in April of 2018. Ashley has presented at mainstream adult and cannabis events like South by Southwest, High Times Harvest Cup, Woodhull Sexual Freedom Summit, and Cannabis Wedding Expo. She was a contributing writer to Leafly.com from 2015 to 2017 and currently writes for Dope Magazine and Culture Magazine. This year she will be teaching at a number of retreats, including the Ganja Goddess Getaway, and will be offering a resort-based retreat at Coral Cove, Jamaica. She earned a bachelor's degree in philosophy with a minor in women's studies and has completed graduate coursework for a Master of Arts in philosophy. Ashley is also a certified and attuned Reiki Level 2 practitioner, a certified consulting hypnotist, and a trained victim advocate. That is so much, and that is so well-rounded. Holy crap. So some of these things that I mentioned in this introduction that she has on her website may have caught your attention and may have attracted you to, ooh, I'd like to take a look at that. Specifically, resort-based retreat at Coral Cove, Jamaica. Yeah, that one I perked my ears up at. So if any of these interest you, this particular thing I just read is on her website, which is Cannasexual. The link for that will be in the Linkorama. And when you get there, you just look for the About and click on that. And all of those links that I just talked about will be there. And you can explore each one, whether it's wanting to hire her as a coach or going to Jamaica or the Ganja Goddess Getaway. I think that's coming up pretty quick. You might miss it this year, but she'll probably be having another one. Okay, and so before we start the interview recording here, I should tell you that there is just a touch of echo in the recording. I do apologize for that. However, it was one of these things where she had an hour. I grabbed this chance to get her for an hour, and then Skype did not cooperate. So I just did the best I could, and I used their automatic recording thing instead of the one I usually use. Nonetheless, I truly believe that the amount of information that you're going to hear will really distract you from any lack of quality in the recording itself. So without further ado, here we go to the interview. So I know a lot of you listeners are really excited about this guest I have with me today. I welcome to my podcast Ashley Menta, who is... how do I describe this? She represents herself as being at the intersection of cannabis and sexuality. Did I get that right, Ashley?
You absolutely did. You nailed it, Ruby.
Sweet. So I'm so happy to have you here. Thank you so much for coming and being willing to answer all of the questions here.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me. And I'm thrilled to be able to provide your listeners with all of the information that I possess.
Cool.
Maybe just a little bit of it.
As much as we can get to today. Sweet. So one of my first questions is, how did you find yourself at this intersection?
How did this happen? How did you combine these two and decide that this was your bliss?
That is such a great question. In fact, it's one of my favorites. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I came to this work as a sexuality educator. I've worked in the field of human sexuality for the past 10 years. And I'll Tarantino this for you. I was sexually assaulted when I was 13.
Mm.
In college, I told my story for the first time, and I decided that sharing my narrative and creating community with other survivors was a really powerful facet of my healing journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that led me to doing victim services work and rape crisis counseling and victim advocacy in the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office. I worked at Planned Parenthood. I got an entire body of background in working with people who had experienced trauma like I have. And when I moved to California in 2013 from Pennsylvania, which was a prohibition state at the time, I experienced medical cannabis for the first time.
And you clearly are saying prohibition in terms of cannabis itself.
Yes, cannabis prohibition.
Gotcha.
The legality in Pennsylvania is only recently medical, and I hear that they're moving toward recreational steadily, but it's still very difficult to come by here. Uh-huh. As I am sitting in Pennsylvania right now recording this. And so going to California and being able to walk into a dispensary and saying, I would like to feel this, this, and this, but not that. These are the things I'm looking for. What do you have? And to have someone say, oh, well, you might want to try this to start, or try this method, or what have you. That was really different. And as a sexual assault survivor, like many, I experienced pain with penetration. That was one of the ways that my trauma showed up in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And so having a THC-infused topical that I could apply to my genitals before sex, you wait about 25 minutes in advance and let it marinate, that allowed me to have pain-free penetration for the first time in over a decade.
That's awesome.
It was so good. It was so good.
Yeah.
And I realized that there weren't really any sexuality professionals talking about how to navigate cannabis with regard to sexuality, how to talk about consent, how to choose what products to use, what's going to make sense, how to negotiate, how it's going to impact pleasure. Like, there's a lot of things to it besides just smoking a joint and jumping in bed.
Right.
And so I was like, this could be a really interesting niche. And so it was. Cannasexual was born.
Well, and especially with regards to trauma and anxiety and pain upon penetration, which many women feel. That's it. That's fascinating. So treat us listeners like we're cannabis kindergartners. And I want the whole THC, CBD sort of differentiation and things.
Got it.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So the cannabis plant, it is a plant. It grows in the ground. Interestingly, the flower that you're smoking is a female plant. It's in order for a plant to produce flowers, it must be a female plant. And so that's kind of an interesting facet. And in the plant itself, it secretes and creates a number of compounds that are known as cannabinoids and terpenes. Terpenes are the things that make it smell the way that it does. Cannabinoids are the compounds that cause the sensations and effects that it has.
Okay.
THC is one of the most common cannabinoids that people know about. It's that and CBD are pretty much the only two most people know about. There are actually over 100 additional cannabinoids that have various effects, but THC certainly has the most profound effects. And in its raw form, if you pick cannabis off the plant, THC is in its acid form, so it's THCA.
Mm-hmm.
And only when heat is applied to the plant does THCA convert into delta-9 THC, which is the kind of THC that actually causes psychoactive effects. That's what gives you that high sensation.
Right. So if you just pick a bud off a plant and eat it, no bueno.
Not going to do a gosh darn thing. It's going to be good for your body. It's not going to taste great, but otherwise it's not going to do a whole lot. A lot of people are actually consuming cannabis fan leaves as part of their diets, like in salads, in smoothies. Like the five leaf thing you associate with cannabis, those are called fan leaves, and they are very good, actually. Like you can eat them. They will not get you high because it's raw and it's filled with lots of yummy nutrients, and it's very good for you because your body, inside of your body, you actually have an endocannabinoid system. So an endogenous, meaning in your body, cannabinoid system. So your body is built to work with these compounds. And so
it's like the biochemical complexity is fascinating.
Exactly. Wow. And I am not a chemist. I don't play one on TV. There are people who can explain this better than I can, but
it's okay. We're kindergarten.
There's a lot to it. And so I would really encourage folks who are listening to go out and do some research. Leafly.com is a great resource. There are a lot of really fantastic online courses that you can take. Tokativity, it's toke, like you're token on a bong, ativity at the end. And I imagine you have show notes that you could put links in.
Oh, yeah.
Tokativity.com has a whole course on debunking the indica sativa myth. A lot of people have heard the words indica sativa, and typically we associate sativas with creativity and energy and being kind of buzzy and up. And
right.
Indicas, I hear all the time. People are like, indica, indica couch, ha ha ha. It's sleepy.
Yep.
You're going to pass out.
I've heard that too. Yep.
More than once. So what's interesting about those terms is that they were largely born out of the black market when dealers needed a way to differentiate their products. And they started out as two different strains of the plant.
Uh-huh.
However, over the course of time, especially in medical states, there's been so much crossbreeding that indica and sativa are really nonsensical anymore. To use that as any kind of guidepost to what kind of effects to expect from a given strain is really not going to be very helpful for you. Ditto, interestingly, with the names of the strains. People all the time ask me, what's the best strain for sex?
Yep.
And that's a really great question, except the answer is, it depends. It depends what kind of sex you want to be having. It depends how much time you have. It depends
how you're going to ingest it.
How you're
going
to ingest it. It depends on your personal body chemistry, because something that works really amazing for me and my body and my situation could work horribly for you. It could make you panicky and miserable because no two bodies are the same. Much like no one, you know, has the exact same food preferences. No one has the exact same beverage preferences. Like, everyone has their own, the way that their bodies react to it. I've heard people say, like, oh, yeah, if I drink red wine, it's fine. But if I drink liquor, I'm in trouble. It can – that varies from person to person.
Quite exactly. Individual. Yeah. So the THC-CBD thing, THC gives you the psychoactive, but only when treated with heat.
Correct.
And the CBD, tell me what that does.
CBD is non-psychoactive. So this is a compound that has been shown in studies to have anti-inflammatory properties. That's great for anxiety. It's great for nausea. THC is also really good for nausea and appetite stimulation. And so CBD and THC work in concert together. They actually call it the entourage effect. They work better together because of the ways that they interact with the CB1 and CB2 receptors in your body, which are the things that interact. That's your endocannabinoid system.
Oh, it's so synergistic. I haven't heard the other word you used. Entourage, did you say?
Yes, the entourage effect.
Wow. New words. I love new words. Thank
Yay,
you.
New words. Well,
I mean, and that plays right into one of the next questions that I had about other health benefits, because, yeah, I've done some reading before I talked with you and before I went on my own little pot adventure with my sister and her friend. And there's so many different health benefits. It's absolutely amazing. One of the questions I have is the THC and CBD, are these in greater quantities than all the other cannabinoids in there?
THC is usually in the greatest quantity. CBD, you can have zero CBD in a given plant, depending on how the genetics are coming together and how the phenotypes happen to express in that particular strain. Because we have actually bred cannabis over time to be much higher in THC. In the olden days, in the 80s, it was 12% THC. It was 15% THC. You're looking at those kinds of strains. Now it's up to 25, 28, 30% THC in flower, which is unheard of. Like, they're just breeding and breeding and breeding to make it super, super potent as people in the industry's tolerances collectively start to rise.
But people who
are brand new are taking one hit and getting stoned off their asses. And, like, that's not fun for anybody. THC has something called a biphasic effect. which means it has opposite effects at high and low doses. So at low doses, you can feel euphoric and giggly and relaxed and happy and everything's wonderful. And as soon as you cross the threshold into this is just too much for your body to handle, and because that place is different for everyone, it gets even trickier. But once you cross that threshold, you feel awful. You're shaky. You're nauseous. You get paranoid and anxious. Your heart rate starts flying.
So it's like what comes to mind is it's like a crapshoot. It's sort of like you have to experiment and figure it out for yourself and your body.
You absolutely do. And I so encourage people to start with the smallest amount possible. You can always add more. You cannot add less.
Right. Well, you know,
I take away.
So I go in there and I tell, you know, it's funny because like all of us are either late 50s, early 60s. And so, you know, they were cracking up because it's like the old ladies come in, you know, want some pot, but we all had different needs. And so I said, I want something that's more of a head high and I don't want to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be, you know, totally relaxing, put me out. And it'd be great if I didn't get the munchies, right? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, okay, we'll see. And so I got something completely different. But it's funny because I used to smoke pot when I was younger. I absolutely used to smoke pot. I used to smoke a lot of it. But then for a whole bunch of years, decades, actually, it's like none. So I was old school. I'm like, you know, I want papers. I want to roll. I know I can still roll. I've rolled so many joints in my life. Jesus. And so they said, well, there's the papers. And I said, do you have any that aren't flavored? She goes, yeah, I think we got some in the back. You know, it's like the old school person comes. But, you know, I roll one and I take like four hits off of it and that is fine. So this little tiny thing that I got for $40 a pot is going to last me, Jesus, a year probably. Mm-hmm. It's wild because my sensitivity is so high because I'm not using it and all that kind of stuff. But the edibles that my sister and her friend took, you know, they said, you know, just start off with the 5 milligram. So this leads into another question that I have. When we were in that store, and we're just talking about California here, they told us about a recent law that had passed, I think it was July 1st, about labeling, that they had to be labeled a certain way. And it had interrupted the flow of the sales because they had to pull stuff off shelves and relabel things.
Yes.
Which is why I think they only usually had like two different kinds of like lube stuff there, but they didn't even have those because they hadn't labeled it yet. So what do you know about that in California? Are you familiar with that?
Yes, the regulations, and I'm not as up on the regulations as my friends who are attorneys and who actually have businesses that are impacted them are, but I can give you the general gist. Which is that the regulations are essentially being written in real time. When we passed the ballot measure to make cannabis recreational in California, which was Prop 64 in the last election, we passed it, but the regulations weren't actually written yet when we said, yes, we, the voters of California said, yes, this is a thing that we want. And then all of a sudden the legislators are like, well, shit. And so it went into effect on January 1st, 2018.
Right.
And there were sort of an introductory set of regulations, and everyone had 6 months to get into compliance. So that would have taken us to June 1st. And what it turned out to be was that a lot of the compliance regulations were nice ideas in theory, but they weren't consulting enough people who were actually doing the business of cannabis who could say, oh no, this is going to negatively impact the patients. This is going to be a problem. This is going to create additional waste. Like for a while, they had to have childproof packaging, which required if you were buying a vape cartridge that it had to be in a plastic container that had a childproof lid and like inside of another thing of plastic. So it's creating so much waste.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, California being kind of thoughtful about conservation and the environment as it is was like, wait a minute, this seems like a bad idea. So everyone like rushed to get childproof packaging. And then they were like, actually, you know what? We don't actually need that to be a thing.
No I see worries. What you mean. Real time. I get yeah. you. Wow.
Things are literally changing month to month. Like these poor manufacturers of products are jumping from one foot to the other trying to get compliant. There's labeling requirements with it has to have like the danger logo on it. It has to not be anything that could be confused with candy for children. Yeah. It has to have, now there are things that I like about the labeling requirements. It needs to have very clear cannabinoid and terpene breakdowns from lab testing.
Yes.
Absolutely a great idea. I want to know the top two or three dominant cannabinoids in the strain, and I want to know the top two or three dominant terpenes.
Mm-hmm.
Things like limonene and linalool. Limonene actually smells a lot like citrus. If you bite yes. into an orange, what you're smelling and tasting is limonene.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah, and pinene is from pine trees, so uh-huh. It's going to smell piney. If it's linalool, it's like lavender, so it's going to be more floral. And what we found is that actually using your nose is the most effective way, even beyond, like, lab results are useful and certainly a good thing to have access to as well, but your nose knows what's good for your body. If you smell a flower and you're like, oh, I don't like that at all, nope, that's not for me. Don't do it. That's your body telling you it's probably not going to work great with you.
That's great advice. That applies to a whole bunch of different areas in life.
Right? I couldn't agree more. Like, trust your body.
Well, so let's dive in a little bit to the whole sexuality aspect of this too. Are there, you know, we talked about the common misconceptions of just pot in general with the sativa, indica and stuff. Are there misconceptions about how to combine it with sexuality?
There are. The most common misconception is that using cannabis requires you to be high, and it doesn't.
Ah, talk about that.
So there are so many different ways to consume cannabis. There is mm-hmm. smoking flower. Mm-hmm. There is vaping flower, which is going to be a different – you're not combusting the plant matter, so it's going to be a little bit of a cleaner hit. Mm-hmm. There is vaporizing concentrates. So that's going to be a distilled oil that has been extracted from the flower using either a solvent or just heat and pressure, and then mm-hmm. that is applied to a heat source. So those are all psychoactive ways. Inhalation is a psychoactive method for cannabis.
Okay.
Assuming there's THC present. If there's not THC present, then you're not going to get high no matter what you do.
You're smoking for nothing.
Well, if getting high is your goal. If it's not your goal, then that's a great choice for you. And so there's also topicals. Things okay. that you can put on your skin if you have pain, arthritis. For folks who are into BDSM, topicals are great. If you're a top and your shoulder gets sore after flogging for 15 minutes, you can put some topical on your shoulder. You're still completely present and clear, as you should be if you're a top.
Yes.
And you're able to be more comfortable as you're doing a scene with your partner because you've gotten the physical sensation of pain taken care of.
That's so topicals, fantastic.
Yeah, topicals are a great option for new folks. When people are like, what do I do with sexuality? I'm like, topicals, start with that.
And so I'm assuming that the topicals would be higher in CBD than THC?
They are usually a mix. Some are 1-to-1 CBD to THC. Some are 3-to-1 THC to CBD. Some are 20-to-1 CBD to THC. Everybody's a little bit different, and they do slightly different things in different ratios. So again, you have to kind of figure out what's working best for your body and your needs. But because you can't get high from topicals, it doesn't matter if it's all THC. It's not going to get you stoned.
Right.
Unless you happen to put it on a mucosal membrane in your mouth, or if you put it on your pussy and your partner goes down on you, your pussy is now an edible because they are ingesting it.
That's a great line. I love that.
It's one of my favorite phenomena and something that people aren't thinking about when they're using things like Foria or Quimrock, which are two of the more common THC and CBD-infused oils on the market in California.
Specifically for sexuality.
Specifically for sexuality. Quimrock is owned by two women in the Bay Area, which, yes. of course, I'm a big fan of.
Hence the name, Quimrock. Right. You gotta love it. Oh, my
perfect.
God.
Perfect.
So here's my confession. I need to interrupt and tell you, here's my confession. So years ago at one of the anime shows, and everybody listening, I say this every time because everybody thinks I said anime show, Adult Novelty Manufacturers Expo. And this is when you first had the Foria, and you gave me a couple of vials of Foria. That is still on my desk, Ashley. And I know I told you this the exact same thing the last time I saw you, and you said, you got to take better care of yourself or something like that. You got to treat yourself better. And so, yes, I have not used the Foria yet, but when I checked up reviews and stuff like that, people talk about it was such an interesting sensation because it felt like my pussy was stoned, sort of, relaxed, you know, mellowed out. So is that what it's like for you?
Honestly, for me, it's more the only difference that I notice in real time is the lack of pain when it gets to orgasm. It's easier for me to come.
Uh-huh.
And it's easier for me to come multiple times. Typically, my clit is like a one-trick pony.
Mm-hmm.
And one orgasm and my clit's like, great, thank you very much, fuck off, leave me alone. And with any kind of THC topical, my clit's a little bit friendlier. It's like, oh, okay, that was fun. Let's do some more. So I appreciate the stamina that it gives my pussy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big difference for me. But I have certainly spoken with people with vulvas who feel like warmth in their pelvic region, who feel like their pussy is just completely relaxed,
mm-hmm.
who sometimes I have heard from people that they actually felt a little bit euphoric themselves, like in their heads, which from a science perspective, that doesn't make a lot of sense. And I would never deny someone's lived experience. Like, if you're telling me that putting this on your pussy is getting you high, I believe you.
Right.
It could
be
psychosomatic, but if you're having that experience, then like, that's real for you. So cool. I can't tell you scientifically why that works. I can tell you why it shouldn't work, but.
So here's the question, because, there's this interplay between where you put it and what kind of high you get, of course.
Sure.
And one of the questions that I got from my listener is, will a rectally administered THC suppository get me high? And then you also mentioned, and so, you know, let me finish the question. You also mentioned, you know, if you put 4-A on your pussy and then somebody goes down on you, they might get high. Mm-hmm. So is it because of the proximity to your brain? I mean, why is it different? Because it seems like it's just a mucous membrane. It ought to absorb it to go into the body. You get high.
So when it's inhaled into your lungs, the THC is absorbed into your bloodstream at about, I don't remember the exact percentages, but I want to say like 40 to 50%.
Okay.
Effectiveness. Rectal absorption is actually the highest at somewhere around 80% absorption.
That's what got me all interested.
Exactly. It's so interesting with the rectum, but it's not going through the liver. When it goes through the liver, when you ingest cannabis, when you have an edible or a tincture, okay. It goes through the liver and the delta-9 THC converts into something called 11-hydroxy.
And what does that do?
And that is a more sedate, body-high experience for most people. So when people talk about that couch lock experience, a lot of times they're talking about edibles, where you're just
gotcha.
Like melted into whatever you're sitting on. You just want to Netflix and chill all day, and you're probably a little bit munchy.
Okay.
Also, it bears noting that for edibles, it can take up to 2 hours to feel the effects because it has to work its way the whole way through your digestive system. So the biggest mistake I see people make is they take 5 milligrams and they're like, 30 minutes later, I don't feel anything. I'm going to take more. And
yep.
Then an hour and a half later, they're like, oh, fuck, I have made all of the wrong choices in my life. All at the same time. And so
since a rectal suppository wouldn't go through the liver, what happens with all of that with the rectal in the rectum? How does it interact with the body?
I have never found myself high using rectal absorption. I know people who have put 500 milligrams in their asses and been like walking around doing their job all day.
Okay.
However, because everybody's body chemistry is different and everyone's tolerance is different, for some folks, you might feel sort of a belly button to knee kind of sense of relaxation in your body. You might feel a little bit euphoric. I've never heard of anyone feeling paranoid or anxious after rectal absorption.
Okay.
That's not to say it would never happen, but that's just not, to my knowledge, has happened.
Right. Well, one of the reasons it interested in me, clearly, is because of the pegging. And I thought, ooh, how would that be to have like a rectal suppository of whichever one would be the best or a combination of the THC-CBD and then have pegging? How would that be?
It's phenomenal.
And
I have actually done it.
Okay. So talk to me about that.
So, let's see, 2 years ago, I was up in San Francisco for Pride in 2016, and I was with 4-A, and so they had suppositories. They had just launched their suppository line called Explore, and I had a play partner up there, And so he put the suppository in his ass. It was 60 milligrams of THC and 10 milligrams of CBD.
Okay.
It does not numb in any way, because we know that numbing and anal do not go together.
Yep, not a good idea.
So right. It's going to reduce discomfort. It's going to bring more blood flow to the area. It's going to make the area relax more and make it more comfortable, but without numbing.
And well, and if you're bringing more blood flow in, you're sensitizing it too. It becomes much more sensitive.
Exactly.
I
found a lot of really positive effects of that. And the person whom I was pegging, who happened to have a prostate, had an amazing time. I was going hard on this man for 20 minutes or so of like really just nailing him.
Uh-huh.
And the next day he called me and he goes, "My ass feels amazing." Just like one of the nicest things someone can say to you after you rail their ass for hours.
That's so awesome. Yeah, now that you explain all the different physiological things that happen, I get why it can really make a difference. Because it absolutely borders on aphrodisiac stuff. That's amazing. So let's see, what other questions do I have for you?
Consent.
Sure, let's talk about consent.
That's the one area that often gets overlooked when we talk about sex and cannabis. I mean, not by me, of course, but like I've done God gazillion interviews and I know you know this. So
mm-hmm.
I think your folks will be so excited to hear about consent, to kind of follow your amazing example that you set.
Oh.
And so what I tell people with cannabis, if you're using anything that's psychoactive, so that means edible, inhalables, and tinctures.
Mm-hmm.
You want to negotiate before you medicate.
Ah, I get where you were going with that. That's why I let you lead on this topic, because I'm like, okay, I don't even know where she's going with this, so I'm just going to let her run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. That's sort of like negotiate before you start the BDSM scene, because you get
exactly
altered.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Really, really, really good point. Okay.
So negotiate before you medicate. And I would argue that for everything when it comes to cannabis, be really clear and intentional about what you're going for. Cannabis is great for addressing the things that get in the way of pleasure, connection, and intimacy,
uh-huh,
whether it be pain or anxiety or turning off the noise in your head or increasing pleasurable sensations in your body. But like, get really clear on what it is that you're trying to accomplish when you're using this compound,
mm-hmm,
plant, medicine, however you want to characterize it,
mm-hmm,
and communicate that to your partner so that they can be checking in with you. Like, how's that working for you? Is that helping with your pain? Are you feeling anxious at all? How are you, like, checking in verbally continuously and having a conversation about what it would look like if you were having a bad time? Like, have you ever been too stoned? What does that usually look like for you? Do you get,
mm-hmm,
kind of comatose? Do you get nonverbal? Do you get giggly? Like, having clarity around what that would look like and be with a trusted partner. Like for me, cannabis does enhance my sensuality and deeply connect me with the person I'm with. So I don't just smoke weed with whoever I happen to be fucking. Like I want to have a connection with that person. I want to be someone I trust to hold space for me when I am in an altered state.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not something I would recommend with someone that you just met at a play party or that you just like swiped right on Tinder. Like, this is something that's, unless you're really clear on how it affects you and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I take one hit, I'm going to be totally clear and fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool, but you have to know that about yourself, and a lot of people don't. They just reach for whatever they're handed, and they're like, oh, well, I guess we'll see how this works. And I'm a planner. I like to know in advance how something's going to work out for me, or at least have some idea and like control the variables so I can create space for that exploration of finding out if I don't already know how it's going to go.
Yeah, otherwise it's kind of irresponsible, especially if you're with people that you don't know very well. That's kind of wild. So yeah, I get you. That would be like drinking a lot and doing BDSM as a top.
Sure.
You know, it's crazy. Totally crazy. So, wow, consent. But I love the idea of planning beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
What popped into my head is a strange thing to pop into my head, but it's like, okay, so, you know, I know you can get so high that you're kind of non-functional.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think that was what stopped me from smoking for a lot of years is because I smoked a lot when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, as you know, the strength of it increased and increased. And then I went on this women's trip and we were in Mexico and it was just the four of us and they brought some pot and they're like, hey, you want to get high? And I'm like, sure, why not? And in short order, I was listening to them speak. I was trying to put the words of the sentences together to mean something. And I would get one sentence put together, but then by that time, there were six sentences down the line. There was no way I could communicate with them. So I just smiled and stood up and said, I have lost my ability to communicate. I'm going to go to bed. It's like so out of it. So anyway, the little vignette I played in my head just a little while ago when you were talking about that is, wow, you could just set a timer to check in with each other, you know?
Yeah.
So that not too much time passes where you're just kind of going,
Exactly.
Negotiate before you medicate.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
So what is your favorite type of method to use when you are having sex? You expressed a love for topicals.
I do love topicals quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, for sex, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend this to others who do not have an equally high tolerance as mine, I smoke every day.
Okay.
I use cannabis every day. I shouldn't even say I smoke every day because I don't actually combust flower every day because my throat has started to feel the effects of smoking joints on a regular basis. And so I've switched more to vaporizing and dabbing. If you're not familiar with dabbing, it is both the strange dance move that you occasionally see in social media. However, in addition to that, it is also the act of applying concentrates to a heated enamel or titanium or quartz surface that has been heated to somewhere between 250 and 650 degrees, depending on your preferences.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a vaporization technique. It doesn't combust because it's oil, so it just it flash vaporizes it as soon as it touches the hot surface.
Okay.
And oils, the concentrates especially that I'm using, are somewhere between 70 and 85% THC. So they're super,
Whoa.
Super strong.
Mm-hmm.
So just a dab will do ya is very accurate in this case.
Gotcha.
Just a little bit. And because I don't want to, it takes me most of a joint to get high as opposed to a dab or two to get high, to feel the psychoactive effects.
And so to do that, the dabbing that you just described, that would be having the concentrated oil to begin with. But I mean, is it like a vape thing or it's not?
There are vape cartridges. However, those tend to be, you know, 65 to 85%. This is even stronger, I think, than vape cartridges.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you take like a tool, like a little pokey stick or a little, it almost looks like a little spoon, and you drop it onto the hot surface. And it looks like a bong in some cases,
mm-hmm.
where it's got a little, they're called a banger, a quartz banger, or an e-nail, which is usually made out of titanium, or it's a ceramic. And it's either heated with a blowtorch, if it's not electric, and which is a little bit interesting to watch if you're not familiar with people like using blowtorches to consume any mm-hmm. kind of substance. Like it mm-hmm. might look a little bit unsettling at first. It's probably the least like social media friendly method of imbibing because
yeah,
it
reminds
so
everybody of like the drugs on the spoon and the injecting
right.
and all that.
The scary drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's actually very effective, especially for folks who need a lot of THC. Folks with cancer, it's a very effective way of consuming.
Nice.
And I find that the dab high is more clear in the head. Like you feel high, but it's more of a sensation over your body, not a body, like a heavy body high, but like a euphoric body high.
Mm-hmm.
And my head usually feels very clear. Unless there's like solvents in it that are not helping my body feel good, which can happen. There's all sorts of methods of extraction from CO2 to butane to ethanol to just heat and pressure. If you take cannabis flower and squish it
mm-hmm.
with heat and pressure, the wax that comes out is called rosin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually my favorite. It's as pure as it can get. I get my rosin from an organic farmer. Like I know I have watched these plants be grown. They get harvested by people I know. And like, so that's like my private reserve stock. Like the Ashley Manta special is my amazing rosin from this company called the Hog's Breath Company in San Diego. They're just phenomenal.
Love it. it's a bit of a maze to figure out, you know, to get your hands on the best stuff to get. I mean, it's just like sex toys. You know, there's shitty ones out there and there's really great ones out there.
Yep.
So how does one navigate that?
I would say your best bet, unless you have like the time and inclination to do a lot of research, is to hire a coach of some kind. Like hire someone who's in the cannabis industry who can sit down with you and give you some advice. I do that with prospective clients if they need help. My friend Andrew Muir, who runs a company called Top Shelf Bud Tending, he is a social consumption expert. So he works with companies and organizations. Oh yeah.
Well, it sounds like you are as well.
Thank you. I know my way around for sure, but even I am not as proficient as others in my field. Like I'm further ahead than most folks who don't know anything, but you know, there are people who know, make what I know look like beginner shit. So it's all relative. It's all a spectrum, but working with someone who can kind of walk you through the process, who can say, here's what might be helpful for you. Like, here are a couple things to try. Now go to your local dispensary and come back and like, maybe we do a Skype call. And I'm like, okay, let me walk you through how this works. And now I want you to take notes on your experience. Cause that taking notes is so important. And I know most people like just can't be bothered. Eventually I want to create an app that would make it easier for people to do that with regard to sexuality and how it's impacting their sex life. But like really, really, take 5 minutes and write something down. If it's on an index card or if it's in a journal, like whatever that looks like, and just write down what it is, how much you smoked, how you felt when you started, how you felt when it kicked in, and like, would you use this again?
Right. Didn't I see something like that when I was perusing your websites when we connected and decided to do this strain tracker, right?
Yes. If you sign up for my email list, if you just go to cannasexual.com, I have a pop-up. Sorry. I have a pop-up to sign up for my email list. But if you sign up for my email list, you get a free PDF download, which is my strain tracker specifically for sexuality. And you can print it out, and then it's like, I try to make it really, really straightforward. And I hope that people like start to gather a body of data, because I can tell you what works for me, but what works for me might not work for you. And I really want to empower people to kind of be their own body detective.
Absolutely, because everybody's so individual. So let me quick look over questions here, because I know you only have so much time left. I did have one question from someone who lives in the UK, and I don't expect you to know regulations everywhere, but I think this person is actually thinking about growing some. And he was wondering about strain recommendations and seeds that might be available in some way. Any input at all you might have on that?
I have not the foggiest, to be honest with you.
Not a problem. Let's see.
Couldn't even tell you.
And then there's a guy who said that where they live, the only form of cannabis that's available is the industrial hemp flowers. And he was wanting to try and make an infusion with coconut oil using that. And would it be any value?
You can absolutely make an infusion with coconut oil and flower, or coconut oil and hash. Or oil. You could use pre-done oil and make it into an infusion. I actually have a recipe on leafly.com that's how to make DIY cannabis lube with a crock pot.
I'm writing this down.
And all you need, I'm sort of being a little bit flip here because it can be a little bit challenging to get this thing that you need, but you need 1/4 ounce of flour, which is not a small amount for the average person. And if you live in an illegal state, I am going to tell you to do this in a legal state, because I am not going to encourage you to break the law.
Yeah, absolutely. And so he made the differentiation in his question of industrial hemp flower. So that's completely different, right?
Industrial hemp. So what's interesting about hemp versus cannabis is that hemp is something called a bioaccumulator, which means it's something that they plant in like radioactive zones because it absorbs all of the contaminants in the soil, which is great for the environment. However, what that means is if there are any contaminants in the soil in which hemp is grown, it will be in the hemp oil that is extracted. And because CBD is the predominant cannabinoid in hemp, but there's not that much of it, you have to extract a lot of hemp to get a small amount of CBD.
Got it. So if he were to do this, probably it would be marginally effective, if at all. And it would just be CBD.
And it would just be CBD. And Foria actually makes a CBD infused lube that ships to all 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
I would say source it rather than trying to do it yourself.
Yeah.
Like for hemp CBD, like there's so much shit on the market. There's so many companies that are trying to capitalize on the CBD craze, and it's like a vitamin supplement. Sometimes vitamin supplements are really effective, and sometimes they actually only have a fraction of what they say on the bottle in there.
Yep. Yep.
Because there's no regulation, and that's exactly what you're doing with CBD.
Right.
It's a crapshoot every time. Maybe it'll help. Maybe it'll be a completely psychosomatic reaction because you think it's going to help, so it's a placebo effect. Who the fuck knows?
But yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Hemp CBD, I'm not anti-hemp CBD, but I'm like, if you must, if that's all you can get, it's better than nothing. But for me, I want at least a little bit of THC because they just work better together. And hemp CBD has to have less than 0.03% THC to be considered hemp.
Yeah, that's so nothing.
So
yeah.
that's no CBD, or that's no THC at all. And so for me, I'm just like, eh.
Yeah, not worth the time. So this last question I think we may have covered, but says, my partner and I have always enjoyed incorporating cannabis in our sexy times, but we're seeking more methods of partaking. In your opinion, aside from smoking combustible raw cannabis flowers and edibles, what is the best overall way to get high? So specifically, this person wants to get high.
They want to get high, but they don't want to combust or use edibles. So I would say...
Or they're looking for one more way to do it.
One more way. I mean, vaporizing / dabbing is a great option if you want to feel the psychoactive effects.
Mm-hmm. You have a blowtorch.
And you have a blowtorch or an email. They're not cheap. You can actually use a Brulé torch. Like, it doesn't have to be a big, scary blowtorch. Like, I have a Brulé torch that I bought when I got to Pennsylvania for $30. Like, you just need a strong flame. It can't be a lighter flame.
Okay.
But, yeah, tinctures are a little bit different than edibles because you put them under your tongue and you let them sit for about 15 to 30 seconds.
Okay.
Most of them taste terrible, I have to be honest with you. But if you put them under your tongue, the absorption sublingually is much faster than having to go through your entire digestive tract. I mean, it still will, but like you get a little bit more upfront within like 15 to 20 minutes as opposed to 2 hours.
Got it.
So that would be a good one to add to the repertoire. But really, like, figure out why it is that you want to get high. Like, what is that addressing? Because the benefits are so great for couples outside of being high. Like, my boyfriend took me to take my cat to the vet because we had to put him to sleep, which was, like, a heartbreaking experience for me.
Yeah.
And afterward, he brought me home and he, like, wrapped me up in this amazing 25-pound weighted blanket, which I am obsessed with. And I was crying and he was holding me and he's like, how about I draw you a bath? And I was like, that would be amazing. And so he drew me a hot bath and then put infused bath salts into my bath.
Oh my.
So you can actually take a bath in cannabis.
Oh my gosh.
And it was so relaxing. It was so nourishing to like have him take care of me in that way. And like, what a beautiful gift to a partner who's like maybe had a rough day at work and is so stressed and can't even conceptualize getting into a sexy headspace. What if you were to go draw them a bath and put some like THC bath soak in there or CBD bath soak in there and let them just relax? You set up the room, make it clean, you know, pick the laundry up off the floor, maybe light some candles, and then they come out, they're relaxed, and sexy fun times can actually be encouraged.
I'm really getting what you mean about, you know, see what your purpose is. Get real clear on what your purpose is. Fascinating. So, okay. Please tell us where we can find you and tell us how we can support the work that you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. You can find me on my website, which is cannasexual.com, CannaSexual. You can also find my Instagram is @cannasexual. My Twitter is @AshleyManta. And I'm so excited to announce that I just today opened the shopping cart on my online course.
Ooh.
I teamed up with my friend Roxanne De Palma of Playden Productions, and we are co-created a masterclass called Handy Skills, The 10 Commandments of Hand Sex. And it's pussy massage and penis massage and 8 other commandments on how to communicate, create sacred space and have aftercare conversations and prepare your body and assemble your toolkit. And that just went live today. So you can buy it online. And if you buy it during the presale, the actual course won't be available until October 15th. Mm-hmm. However, if you buy during the presale period, you get a free Warm Touch, which is an automatic lube warmer and dispenser.
Dispenser, yes, yes.
You literally, it squirts out warmed up lube into your hand like a hand soap dispenser. Mm-hmm. And it is the most amazing device. My boyfriend literally asks for it by name in the morning when we want to have morning sex. He's like, can you please turn on the touch? And I'm like, yes, I absolutely can. And it's such a game changer for hand jobs. Hand jobs are my passion. Mm-hmm. Besides sex and weed, like hand jobs are my religion. I preach the gospel of hand jobs. And this has changed my hand job game exponentially. So I'm so excited to be offering that as a perk if people buy during the presale period. It is $297 for the course and it's all online. So you can take it at your leisure, on your time, mm-hmm. if you want to take it with your partner or separately. If you want to get a group of friends together and watch it together and you can all chip in $50, like, I don't care. Just watch it.
Lots of different ways. Yes.
So many ways to make this work for you. So you can find that at elevatedintimacy.com/masterclass.
And I'll have all the links there when I post the, when I post this up on my blog. I call it my Linkorama because there's always so many links I have that it has become the Linkorama. All of these things that Ashley talked about are going to be on there. And different sources that are your favorite sources for getting things. Like you mentioned Foria and places like that. I'll put those on there too. What I love about the hand job thing is that why is it that everybody defaults to PIV? You know, let's do something creative, and hand is creative. I like
it. I could not agree more. I'm so tired of this very linear trajectory that we treat sexuality with. I am all about really being in what's true for you at the moment and having an authentic experience every time that does not look the same. I don't, my sex doesn't need to look like your sex. The sex that we had yesterday doesn't need to look like the sex that we're having today or tomorrow. And if we can just get out of that, like, all paths lead to penetration mindset, I think everyone would be better served.
Yeah, although, you know, all paths lead to penetration in a different way in my world, but yes.
Right, exactly.
Ashley, thank you so much for coming on the show and answering all of my questions, letting me pick your braining and treating us like we're cannabis kindergartners. Maybe now we're in like third or fourth grade. So
yay! Thank you
really
for having me.
Really appreciate all the information. And we'll be in touch. Thanks again, Ashley.
Thank you so much.
Have a lovely day, my dear.
You as well. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
After all of that information and that amazing interview with Ashley, I really felt compelled to go and do some research on my own because I keep hearing over and over again that there are so many therapeutic and medical benefits of the cannabis products. And she just kind of opened up a whole new world to ways of thinking about it. So I did a little research, and let me tell you some of the things that I have found. Here are some of the things that they know cannabis products will help. Chronic pain is the biggest thing it's used for. Whether that chronic pain is from multiple sclerosis, cancer, injuries, back problems, menstrual cramps, arthritis, all these different things. It is also very, very helpful to reduce nausea, especially in the case of cancer chemo treatment and things like that. It does also stimulate the appetite. And reactions to chemo are often nausea, vomiting, and loss of appetite. So it's very helpful for cancer patients. Muscle spasms, and interestingly enough, it reduces the pain and tremors of Parkinson's. It's been very helpful with that. And there's been some great promising studies of PTSD work. New Mexico has actually already legalized it for medical use for PTSD patients. And it also ties in with a reduction in nightmares. I mean, PTSD sufferers usually do have nightmares, but there are also people who just have nightmares that don't have PTSD. The point is those two interlace and overlap. And so the reduction of the nightmares is part of what helps the PTSD sufferers. And here's some other really interesting things I found. There are several studies that have showed that states that allow medical marijuana have fewer opioid deaths, which is a huge crisis in our country right now. And this effect seems to grow over time. There is a study that shows that states who pass laws legalizing marijuana see a 20% lower rate of opioid deaths in the laws following the first year, 24 in the third, and 33 in the sixth. which is pretty remarkable. There can be a lot of other factors here, but it's an interesting statistic to be repeated in different states when they legalize. What else? It can be used to treat glaucoma, which is a condition where there's too much pressure inside the eye. The reason that it's good for this is because of its really dramatic anti-inflammatory properties. It helps seizures, especially with epilepsy that is treatment resistant, and they've tried all kinds of different treatments for the epilepsy. It's been able to be treated by using cannabis products. It's also been used to decrease anxiety. Now, there's a bunch of things where it's sort of like very small studies have been done, and the science isn't behind it yet, and the formal studies haven't been behind it. But it looks very promising. For example, and I'm going to link to this article in the Linkorama, there's an article in Leafly talking about, the title of the article is "Try These Limonene Cannabis Strains for Anxiety, Depression, and Stress Relief." Now remember, limonene is one of the terpenes that Ashley talked about that has that citrus scent to it. And let me read you just a little bit from this article. "It remains unclear how limonene achieves these therapeutic effects. Inhalation of limonene vapor increases serotonin and dopamine levels in key regions of the brain that are associated with anxiety, depression, and OCD. At this point, it's unclear how limonene boosts these brain chemical levels. Does limonene merely stimulate the brain's olfactory system, or is it directly affecting brain cells themselves? The actual mechanism is an area for future research, but it's likely some combination of both, stimulating the olfactory system and direct cellular action." And then the article goes on from there to talk about which strains of cannabis products have more limonene in them. So there is so much information for any of you out there interested in cannabis products to check out beyond the whole sexuality stuff that Ashley and I had such a lovely conversation about. And she was so informational about goodness. So I'm not even done with the therapeutic effects, okay? Let me continue. These are things that have been shown in very early studies, just on mice and stuff like that. There are studies that show promise that it can slow cancer growth and actually shrink tumors. There are also studies that show that it potentially can slow progression of Alzheimer's disease because it has some very good neural effects on the brain. It can also be potentially used to treat inflammatory bowel diseases like Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. And of course, this would be because of the really pronounced anti-inflammatory effect. So yeah, this is some cool stuff. I did some studies years ago in therapeutic herbalism, and one of the things I came to believe in quite a bit is what was mentioned when I was interviewing Ashley is the biochemical complexity of a plant. It's common for the pharmaceutical people in the medical communities to identify a certain particular compound or substance that gives a certain particular desired result, to synthesize that particular compound, and then use it as a medication. What was emphasized to me when I was in herbal school, and this was a long time ago, guys, was that the biochemical complexity of the plant is really important. We may not be able to explain exactly why it's important, but we do know that the exact chemical that is found in valerian root that they synthesized and made into valium is not at all addictive when it's just used as valerian root and has remarkable relaxation properties. So see, this is what I mean. So I like how the biochemical complexity in many of these cannabis products stays the same. And it's fascinating to me, this whole subject. And I love the implication is not quite the right word, but the prospect that perhaps this can be used to treat a large number of things that now we're using medications for that have some horrendous side effects. So I'm just totally excited about it. And I think I might have to start keeping a journal and checking it out myself with my little masturbatory adventures. And I swear, you guys, I promise, I'm going to use the Foria at least one little vial of it. I'm going to use one before my next podcast, and then I'm going to report on it. Okay? That's my promise. Because I deserve it, right? That's what Ashley was trying to tell me before. She's like, you need to treat yourself better. You need to give yourself more pleasure. And I totally agree with her. So, yeah. What a fun interview. I hope you all really enjoy it. And again, there's so many links in the Linkorama. I also did some research to find some places that had products to purchase. And she did mention that Foria will ship CBD products that had no THC to them in all 50 states, because the THC is the part that is illegal in states. And I did find that. And I also found the bath product that she was talking about. Actually, I think it was through the Whoopi and Maya. Okay, so Whoopi Goldberg treats her glaucoma with pot, right? And she has a company called Whoopi and Maya. And the woman Maya has a long history of doing amazing things with cannabis products. So I found the bath salts there from the story that Ashley was talking about. So anyway, clearly I could go on and on with this. I hope this has been educational and informative and fun for all of you. And I think we're good, because I'm running out of space in my 64 megabyte limit upload to my WordPress blog. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you could find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. Remember, if you order anything, any sexy new toys, any UV sterilizers, harnesses, dildos, anything from Entice Me, remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your entire purchase. Send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. No question is too crazy, too critical, or too clinical. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox. Or you can call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.